It is the Big Breakfast Blah on Waterford's WLAW. I'm delighted to welcome back one Keane Manning for I Loves Me County. Good to see you, Keane.
Thanks very much for having me back again.
We have a gentleman called Johnny Ryan you're going to tell us about today. Portlaw's preeminent sportsman.
Yeah, I was thinking after the last couple of weeks of literature and poetry and romance and classical music would return to a kind of more familiar fare as regards sport. We're probably looking in the figure Johnny Ryan, to use an American colloquialism, the winning most jockey in history.
Okay.
And that will all make sense as you go through his story.
Okay, well, tell us more.
So we know that Johnny was actually born in Mountjoy Forest in Omagh, County Tyrone. His father was a gardener to Sir Charles J. Gardner. And the beauty of this is we know that Charles J. Gardner also had stables with horses. And we can sort of see the precocious kind of talent that Johnny Ryan is, that aged 11, he decides that he's actually going to have a chat with Sir Charles to ask, can he ride some of his horses.
You dare approach
me. Give it a crack. So yes, he actually hides behind a barrow.
Who is this lad?
He hides behind a barrow to avoid school, and he walks up to Sir Charles and probably greets it like you said there. They come to a deal. So Sir Charles says to him if he could sort of tame this wicked mare, as was described, over hurdles, basically Johnny Ryan would be given the pick
of
the stable.
Right.
And young Johnny Ryan, aged 11, passes with flying colours.
So he's obviously a bit of a natural.
So he has the magic touch. Christy Moore, Jimmy McCarthy, ride on, comes on
horse
in the background.
Whisperer, the whole lot.
Exactly.
Yes.
So Sir Charles obviously kind of nurtures this talent. Johnny has a 7-year apprenticeship with him. He then goes to a Captain Henrik of Johnstown in County Kildare, and this is where our connection with Waterford and Portlaw and Curramore comes. So Johnny has the mount of a horse called Black Dwarf, and it's at a popular race at the time called the Ballybar Races in County Carlow. Both come to the attention of Lord Waterford. So Lord Waterford purchases the horse, and in a retrospective interview, Johnny Ryan notes that, I believe the Lord bought me too. So it was kind of a 2-for-1 deal there that the authorities may well investigate nowadays. So we know that around 1844, Lord Waterford has 16 horses in training. A great pick for Johnny Ryan to hone his talents. In addition to his jockeyship, he's also the second horseman to Lord Waterford's foxhounds. So you can imagine at the time, like we've spoken about all the other social gatherings, there's a very sort of prominent position that Johnny has gotten from being a young boy chancing his arm with
cleaning out stables to top lad, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we know that he would have worn the Waterford blue on horses such as, for those that are interested, would include Blue Skin, Red Wing, Bally Sacks, Firefly, Lord George and the Sea, which would have been also ridden by Lord Waterford. And we know from sports historian and social commentator Harry R. Sargent that he records Johnny Ryan's record for Lord Waterford, winning no fewer than 112 victories from 130 races.
By golly, that's fair going.
So to kind of put that into context, sort of a top class jockey now would consider a win rate of 33% as phenomenal. So I think it's fair to say with those sort of statistics that Johnny Ryan was probably
incredible,
really the top of the pile. It's notable that in his career for Lord Waterford that he finished second 5 times and he finished third 3 times. And the interesting thing about the third place finishes were they all came at the Grand National.
Wow.
So he was well in the mix. Actually, in the 1850 Grand National aboard Sir John, they entered it as favourites, but unfortunately finished third of 32 horses. So to kind of give a flavour of his style, we know that Ryan, as a jockey, was never flurried or excited, never lost a chance or took an ounce out of his horse unnecessarily,
a cool head,
while his finish was most resolute and artistic.
Wow. There's so a description.
Very much.
And high praise as well, it has to be said.
Yeah, very much a talented figure, like when you think of it, that he sort of let the horse run his own race effectively, but also had this kind of bit of flair, bit of panache and that bit of grit too, which I imagine played a huge part in those victories. So to make up for the disappointment of the Grand National 1850, the following year he went on to win the Great Metropolitan Steeplechase at Epsom and the Epsom Hurdle Race. So one of those races he would have ridden the horse Lord George that I referred to earlier, returning to Sargent. And again, just to kind of sum up Johnny as both the person and the career, Sargent wrote that Johnny Ryan came from a racing stable at the Curragh. He entered the service of Lord Waterford in 1842 and continued his first steeplechase and flat race jockey, also a second horseman until his lordship's death in 1859. During these 17 years, Ryan distinguished himself on the flat and between flags in the light blue and black cap to quite an unparalleled degree, thus showing a record which I should say was never approached by any other jockey, professional or otherwise, in the annals of racing or steeplechasing.
Quite a man then.
So a very popular figure too, very
indeed
popular within Portlaoise and Cormorant.
Held in high esteem.
Yeah, and it's kind of summed up with what how he was known. So in Portlaoise itself, he was known as Johnny, but while in Cormorant, he was referred to as the Jock.
The Jock, I like that.
So that's
the man.
So he would probably give the Donald a run for his money at the moment. I would bet I'd know who'd come out of a room between the Jock.
Indeed. That's very interesting now.
We're looking at an era or a period that basically starts off a lot of the norms that we sort of are familiar with today. So it is things like sport in particular, be it horse race and polo. And again, going back as well, we can see the social class of the people that are pursuing these sports.
The sportive games.
So, you know, you probably would have had maybe some agricultural people would have had a lot of horses, but they certainly wouldn't have been thinking of using them for horse racing.
Indeed.
It would have been very much for
practical work.
Survival,
yeah,
effectively. And even just Johnny's story himself, obviously as a young boy, obviously had that bit of a spark to sort of have that confidence.
Indeed.
As an 11-year-old to approach basically the landlord of the estate in Charles J. Gardner. It's kind of important because it's sad when you look at Johnny Ryan died aged 81 in 1907.
Mm-hmm.
He nearly traverses like
a century
really. Almost.
Does,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And just that it can be easily forgotten. So I can imagine like the title the Jock was probably very common parlance in that part of Waterford and Portlaoise and Cormorant. And I think every place has some story, whether it be sporting or political or some sort of event. Definitely with the decades of centenaries commemorations is kind of brought to the forefront. But the thing is now is to keep it going.
A mighty
and,
man.
Yeah, so hopefully Johnny Ryan inspires a few more, whether it be in equestrian pursuits or in terms of today's talk.
Indeed.
Historical.
Yeah, now you said it, yeah. Well, fair juice to Johnny Ryan. Well worth remembering, says you. Portlaoise preeminent sportsman and more besides. Cian Manning, thank you so very much on that.